Thessalonians. Hey, guys, I'll just tell you, I love that last song. And that will preach now. Let me tell you, that will preach. If you would please stand as we honor God's word this morning. Let's read his word and let's honor his word as we read it this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. I'm going to give you a second because 1 Thessalonians is kind of hard to find. Unless you're one of our Bible drillers, right? We talked about that in Sunday school. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. All right, here we go. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Father, I thank you for our worship time this morning that it also, Father, our worship should teach us as we lift our voices to honor you, and it did that this morning. Father, thank you for adopting us into your family as your children. We love you, and we want you to get all the praise and honor and glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Excited to see everybody here this morning. And I'll give you a little bit of heads up if you're a visitor this morning on what we've kind of been working through. We've kind of been looking at, as we grow as a congregation, as we grow as a church, what are some of the challenges that we are going to face? What are some of the things that Scripture tells us that we should be on guard about, that we should be watchful for? And just as we grow, what are some of these challenges that we're going to have to face that Satan's going to be trying to throw at us to get us off track? And we're kind of here the same way with this morning. And I want to talk to you about this morning our attitudes and if our glass is half full or if it's half empty. And this is exactly what Paul is kind of talking about here is our attitudes. And my question for you today, and I want you to ask yourself as we go through here, which one are you? How is your attitude? Let me ask you this. How many of you are sitting in the same seat this morning that you sat in last week? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's like a majority of the congregation, right? How many of you parked in the same parking spot as you did last week? Okay, once again, the majority of the congregation. All right, how many of you sat in the same seat in Sunday school this morning that you sat at last week? Yeah, once again. Okay, I think you know what I'm getting. We're creatures of habit. Anytime there's change that's thrown into anything, we don't like change. We like doing the same thing. We like staying in what we call our comfort zone. And let me tell you this morning that as we grow as a church, we are going to have to get out of our comfort zone in how we approach different things. We've talked about some of the structure that maybe we're going to have to put in place. I talked to you about the email that I'd sent to our department heads a few weeks ago about, hey, we need to be prepared if we ever do go to two services. What's that going to look like? Guys, I'll tell you, when things start to change, we just don't like it. Nobody likes change. The church that I came from, it took us years there to actually build a building because nobody really wanted to do it. Even though we needed to do it, it's a big change. It's uncomfortable. And what I want to talk to us about this morning and what Paul is talking to us about is making sure that we have a positive attitude and making sure you're positive when everything else is negative around us. Probably nothing more can contribute to the quality of our lives and how we interact with people as just having a positive attitude. And with everything that goes on in our world right now, it is so easy to get a critical spirit and we end up focusing on the negatives. A good example of this is maybe a wife who bought her husband two new ties for Father's Day. And he goes in and he puts on one of the ties and he walks out and he says, "Honey, look at my new tie. Doesn't it look good?" And the first thing out of her mouth is, "Well, didn't you like the other one?" just immediately there's that negative vibe. And guys, I think it's real easy for us to fall into that. Now, what I'm not going to talk about this morning is looking through everything with rose-colored glasses on, because there is a lot going on in our world that we need to be upset about. Okay, and we need to understand that there is a lot of negative things that are going on towards Christianity and towards us. So I'm not talking about looking through everything with a rose-colored glass and saying, well, everything's fine. But what I am saying is I think we need to keep a positive outlook. We don't need to go so far as to say, and I read this illustration this week and I thought it was funny. There was an older gentleman that came and was put into a nursing home. And he came to this nursing home, and there were three ladies that met him and said, "Hey, where are you from? Are you new here?" And he said, "Well, yes, I am." And the second lady said, "Where did you come from? Where have you been?" He said, "Well, I've been in prison for the last 20 years. And the other lady said, "Why have you been in prison for 20 years? And he said, "Well, I murdered my wife." And the fourth lady said, "Well, that's good. That means you're single, right?" So we don't want to go to that extreme, okay, where we want to find the good in everything. We don't want to go to that extreme either. So but I think if we look hard enough, there's positive things that we can find in every single situation. And I think that's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about being realistic and realizing that all the negatives that there are in this world and in our lives, we need to focus our energy and attention on what is good and what's happening that's good. Philippians 4:8 says this: "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's positive. That's positive. He says, whatever is true or noble, lovely, pure, spend your time thinking about those things. That's just what should dominate our thinking. Those are the things that should control what we think about, what we speak about, the attitudes that we have. We shouldn't just walk around looking for the negative in everything. Before, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the chapter before this, Paul actually talks about the second coming of Jesus. And what he says is that one day the skies are going to open and the trumpet's going to blow. You're going to hear the sound, a voice of an archangel, and you're going to see Jesus in all his glory. The graves are going to be open and we're going to be caught up with the Lord. He says that the chapter before he writes about this. And so what he's saying, if there's anybody that has something to be positive about right now, it's us. It's us. If anybody has something to be joyful about this morning, it's Christians. Because no matter what happens in this world, no matter how bad it ultimately does get, look what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Like, we're on the winning team, right? We win. We're victorious. So we should think about things like that and about one day when we do get to stand with the Lord. That's the kind of stuff that we should think about. So we have a reason to be joyful. And so here he goes into chapter 5 in Thessalonians, and basically what he's saying is, okay, until we get to that point, until the Lord comes, or till we die and we stand with the Lord, in the meantime, how can we remain positive and have a positive spirit in the midst of all of the things that are going on? And he gives us some practical examples in Scripture how to do that. And here's the first one that can be found in these verses. So I want you to stay in 1 Thessalonians 5. I want you to stay there. The first one is, he says, you need to develop a positive attitude towards your spiritual leaders. The spiritual leaders that are over you, he says, if you develop a positive spirit by having a positive attitude towards your leaders, to those who work hard among you and sacrifice and their energy that they take, it says respect, honor, and encourage them. Go back to verses 12 and 13. 12 and 13, this is what it says. We'll read it again. It says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. You know, it's wonderful and it's awesome when a church comes together and accomplishes something like we did yesterday in Niangua. It's awesome, and it's an awesome thing to be a part of when we love one another and we respect one another. And in a world that is so negative, I mean, I don't know about you, but I literally cannot watch the news. I struggle. I want to keep up on world events, and I want to keep in tune to what is happening in our world and with Christianity and the eroding of our society. I want to keep in tune with that, but it's hard. Because all you hear about in everything when you turn on the news is the negatives. Everything is so negative. And we can, and that can easily carry over to here, where we can have a negative environment inside the church. You hear this, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. I mean, it was good, but I just wouldn't have done it that way. Or I wouldn't have taught that class like that. Or I wouldn't have sang the song like that. Or I wouldn't have preached the sermon like that. Or I wouldn't have taught the kids' classes like that. Or I can't believe, I'm going on and on, right? You know why? Because this is the negative things that we think of. And it starts creeping into our mind. And what happens? What happens? We start getting a negative attitude. And usually when you have a negative attitude about something, what do? You want to tell your closest buddy. And then you know what your negative attitude does? It spreads to somebody else. Instead of, if you have an idea, I love it when people bring me ideas. I think it's great when people bring me ideas about how to do stuff. And normally I listen, I want to listen and I want to soak it in. But what I don't really like is when somebody brings an idea and says, well, I think we should do it this way. And my first response is, okay, let's implement a game plan on how to do that. And then their first response is, well, I mean, I don't really want to do it. I just have the idea to do it. No. Your idea is just you don't like the way it's being done, but you aren't willing to contribute to making it better. Okay? And that's a negative attitude. It's so easy to sit back and show up on Sunday and just think, okay, everything happens. A lot of people don't know of all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. Like yesterday, I'm not even a Sunday morning. I mean, the donuts don't show up just on Sunday morning. They aren't like pizza where we have them delivered. The coffee's not made. Somebody has to study to teach the class throughout the week. Somebody has to put time in to do that. They have to practice. You know, when I get here, and I get here pretty early, when I get here on Sunday morning, you know who's already here? This whole row of people. And you know what they're doing? They're practicing. The first thing I hear when I walk in that door at 7:45 in the morning is this family up here singing. It takes time to do that. And a lot of people don't know about some of that sacrifice. But that's what kids' classes have to be taken care of. Lessons have to be planned. Musicians have to practice. Programs have to be planned out. Sermons have to be studied for. Children's church. Why? Well, so why do we do all that? Because today and every Sunday, there are people here that need what Jesus is offering. There are people that need to grow in Christ. There are people that need forgiveness of their sins. There's people that need a fresh start in their life. They need fellowship with the church family. They need brothers and sisters in Christ as they care about one another. And then there are certain Sundays when people are visiting for the first time. I know we have a lot of visitors here today. And they form impressions about what they see and hear for the first time. Now, if you're a visitor this morning, I want you to realize in the spirit of what I'm saying and how I'm preaching this morning, I want our time together to be special. And I want us to lift and be closer to God and fellowship with one another and praise and honor Christ in everything that we do. And I want to say this morning, church, I'm not saying that these problems are going on right now, okay? I want to make sure that, because if they were, I would be going to people one-on-one and visiting with them. So I'm not saying these problems are happening, but can they? Yeah. You know why? Because we're creatures of habit. And anytime we have to do something different than we've ever done it before, what's our impression? Oh, man, I don't want to change. I mean, I've always sat in the second row on the outside. That means if I walk in on a Sunday and there's a visitor in the, you know why I sit up here? Because most visitors don't want to sit on the first couple of rows. But if somebody walks in and you're a visitor and you sit in my seat, am I going to have a negative attitude about that? I hope not. If somebody parks on my parking spot out there, take my parking spot, okay? I hope I'm not negative about that. And I know that's nitpicky, and I know I'm bringing up things that probably aren't going to happen, but that's how we have to think about things. When people walk into our building and they walk into this church, I hope that they're at ease. And normally they're not. I mean, you're a visitor for the first time. You don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know how the people are going to act. Are people going to notice me? Are they going to talk to me? How are they going to act? And the questions go on and on, right? I want our church to be warm and friendly, and I want our congregation to welcome people. That's why we have two songs, so I can try to get around to everybody in the church and welcome them this morning, and it needs to be positive. But here's the thing. Our attitude here makes all the difference, and it needs to be a positive attitude. Listen, there's nothing wrong with constructive criticism. Please, if I mess something up, which I guarantee you I will, let's talk about it. Let's have constructive criticism. There's nothing wrong with that in growing together in Christ. But if my attitude is always negative and nobody's ever doing it right, and then if that's my attitude, then I'm wrong. Then I'm wrong. And I'm hurting the church. And I'm hurting the fellowship of the church. So our attitude makes all the difference here. And the people that God put in charge over us, hey, it's a huge responsibility. I shared some scripture this week with somebody. I'll read it to you all. It's in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, 7. I shared this scripture with somebody this week, and I said, it sounds like this sermon needs to get preached. I said, it's not 13, 7. Where's it at? It's 13, 17, excuse me. It says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. When you're being taught in a Sunday school class, or you're being taught, or you're teaching, is a person experiencing joy because you're in the class? That's a legitimate question that we should ask ourselves. Is the person who is leading and teaching you experiencing joy because of your presence there? And if they're not, because of your eye rolls or your snod comments, or you just are in a bad mood, we need to check our attitude on that, because that brings disunity. So we need to have unity in the church. We need to have unity. And then our attitude makes all the difference. So not only attitude towards our leaders, here's the second point that Paul makes here. We need to have a positive attitude towards other believers. Being positive, having a joyful spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15. Is it hot in here? Can somebody turn the air conditioning on, security? I'm about ready to burst into flames up here, and that's not a good thing. Man, we got some hot-winded Baptists this morning, right? Maybe it's me. All right, so the second thing we need to do is develop a positive attitude, not only to the leaders, but to each other. And that's exactly what he says in verses 14 and 15. 14 and 15 says this, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. That is great advice. What does it say? We need to be positive, not just towards the leaders, but each other. So how are you doing in that? When you walk out of here, when you leave here this morning, what is the first thing that you're going to say about what happened in here today? You know a rule that I give my kids and my family? For every negative thing that you say, I want to hear 5 positive. And I think that's a good rule for anything. Is the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you leave here, well, that church was hot this morning. It may be mine, I'll be honest with you. right? But are we positive? Are we positive in our attitude about our classes? Hey, listen, I'm not John MacArthur, all right? I'm not going to be. I'm not Billy Graham. We're humans. We do the best that we can. And listen, we should be patient with each other. We should be forgiving of one another. Forgive each other's faults and where we're at. I mean, we should love one another. That's just what we're talking about this morning, is love. So the question is, are we a positive person or are we a negative person? We can find bad in anything. We can find bad in any situation. I want us to look at the good. Hey, we do enough talking about bad. I know I do. We need to have constructive criticism. One thing I said about Niangua last night, we were talking about how it went. I said, I thought it went great. But we also need to have a meeting 2 weeks from now and look at what we did good and then look at what can we improve on and everything. And when somebody says, hey, you You know, when one of the elders comes to me and says, hey man, you could probably improve on this, I need to have a positive attitude about that. They're telling me that out of love, not out of because they're being mean. But are we mean-spirited? You have a positive attitude. Look what Paul wrote. Again, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So we need to be patient with each other. We make mistakes. We make wrong decisions. We aren't perfect. And my dad used to say, cut them some slack. Cut them some slack. Give room for mistakes. Be patient with each other. If something's wrong, don't pay back wrong for wrong. Insert something positive. You know, I always want to try to be a positive person. I told our guys this morning, I always want to look for the best in everybody. And I think that's exactly what Jesus did. When he walked, Ian brought up this morning in Sunday school downstairs, when Jesus ministered to people, he wasn't going to religious leaders, he was going to people who were caught in their sin, who were the outcasts of society. You know, Jesus saw the positive when the world was seeing all the negative. So we have to too. We have to be kind to one another. The first words that you learned in Sunday school, what were they as a kid? Be kind to each other. That's a trait that desperately needs to be restored in our society, is being kind to one another, being kind to each other. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. So what he's saying that we should put on here in these verses, it says, put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Listen, every time that I want to get after somebody, and sometimes I do, because we need to get after one another every once in a while. But I need to remember, before I want to be critical and criticize somebody, I have to remember how much Jesus forgave me from. And that's what it's saying. Be humble, be meek, be patient, forgive one another. Forgive one another for their faults. All right, the third thing here. Third thing, and it's found in, if you turn back to Thessalonians again. They're just a couple of pages apart there too. That'll help you. Turn back to Thessalonians, verses 16 and 18. Let's read it again. Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, we don't always do that. When things are going well for us, we're joyful. When things are going good and we feel like we got it all figured out, we're joyful. And then we pray when a crisis happens. We're joyful when everything's going good, and then we'll pray when the crisis hits, right? You know, we're coming up on a month where we're going to spend a lot of time being thankful, Thanksgiving, where hopefully it reminds us just what we're thankful for. Even though, I want to say this morning, even though we live in a world that is dark outside there, I'm thankful this morning for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Then when crisis does happen, they're there for me and they pray for me. We're there to love one another. There's something to be thankful for. And we should be thankful always, not just on Thanksgiving. And when you start being thankful for what God's given you, you start less thinking about what you don't have. And you're just thankful for what he has given you and how he's taking care of you. Paul says in all circumstances, regardless of what's happening in our lives, we're to be joyful, pray, give thanks. It's important to learn. This morning I had asked a young man to be here, and I was actually going to have him sing the invitation song. And I sent Michael his photo. I hope he has, and I want to put his photo up there. I had asked him to come and sing the invitation song, and he couldn't this morning because he was in Colorado visiting one of his sister who just had a baby. But I want to talk to you about a young man this morning that really has inspired me. Actually, two young men. One of them's name is Tristan also, and he is my nephew. And the other one, his name is TJ. His name's TJ Slocum. And those two young men always have a smile on their face. They always have a smile on their face. They're always ready to give you a hug. They look at people with genuine. You got that picture, Michael? I emailed it to you. That's all right. You guys know who TJ Slocum is, right? Okay. Hey, TJ is, man, just an awesome young man. Both these young men that I'm talking about this morning have Down syndrome. And they are awesome young men. And they look at people with true love. They look at every situation as a positive thing. They don't see the negative. When they walk up to somebody, I truly believe that they see people like Christ would see them, and not the way our human eyes see people. They walk up to me. I don't want to tell you about TJ. TJ has had 13 heart surgeries. 4 of them have been open heart. I mean, just a rough physical life. And yet they love the Lord. They sing in church. He sings specials. And I was going to have him sing the invitation song. They love the church. They love God's people. And they're positive. I mean, the only time I've ever seen TJ negative is when his Patriots, who he's a diehard fan of, would lose the Super Bowl. And then about 10 minutes later, he was positive again, okay? Because he has a positive attitude. He has a great outlook on life. So that made me think this week as I was reading this scripture. So with his attitude and how he loves, what's my problem? What's my problem? Not enough money. I don't feel well, or I have a cold. The kids aren't obeying, which doesn't happen very often, but sometimes. I mean, I have teenage girls, right? They're good kids. But I need to rethink. There he is. I need to rethink my attitude. I need to rethink about how I look at things. To remember that when I got up this morning, I had hot water. I took a nice hot shower. I had a nice bed to sleep in last night. There are donuts to eat back there, and there's hot coffee. We're going to have bratwurst tonight. I mean, how much more positive can we get, right? I have everything that I really need. I have a Savior who loves me. I have brothers and sisters in Christ. And I have a whole lot of stuff that I just really, frankly, don't need. So I ought to be thankful. I ought to be joyful. I ought to pray. And I ought to thank the Lord for what he's given me. And I should be positive in how I view my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, when we read these words of Paul about being positive, it's important to realize that he didn't write them while he was sitting in a penthouse hotel, enjoying all the luxuries of the world. He wrote them while he was in prison. Likely a Roman dungeon where there was moisture dripping from the walls, where the stench was unbearable, where mice and rodents ran across the floor, bugs everywhere, no food. And what did he say? Be joyful always. Pray. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So my question again is this morning, do you have a negative attitude? Do you have a negative attitude this morning? If you do, here's the thing. Jesus is the only one that can change that. Having a personal relationship with him, having him in your heart, and be thankful for what he's given you. And here's what he does. He changes you from the inside out. He changes your desires. Just like Ben said last night in his testimony, I'm going to have a testimony Sunday where I just don't preach, and I'll give some testimonies. Because it will preach, let me tell you. I'm telling you. And like Ben said last night, when he became a follower of Christ, his desires changed. His outlook on things just changed. If you're constantly have a negative attitude, you either need to repent this morning and turn back to Christ, or you need Christ to begin with so he can change your desires. He died for us so we can live differently. And that's what Paul's saying. He can make you into a person who experiences the fullness of life in Christ and whose witness is positive to those around you. You know, the biggest witness that we can be is when we're outside of here, when people just look at us and say, man, there's just something different about the way they handle themselves. They just have a different outlook on things. Why? Because you remember what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we win. One day Christ is going to come back and we're going to be in heaven. That's positive. That's something to be joyful about because we win. If you're here and Christ is not your Savior, I invite you this morning to come forward and turn your life over to him. I want you to weigh the cost because it's a huge commitment. But have repentant, confessing faith in him and be faithful to him in baptism. If you're already here this morning, and you know what? You've been coming to this church, and I'm telling you, serving in our church, we're active. I love that we're active. I love what we did yesterday. I want our church, as long as I'm still breathing and I'm here, we're going to be an active church in our community witnessing the gospel. If you want to be a part of that, and you need to join this body of believers, hey, I'm telling you, we're not perfect. You can find some negatives, but I want to tell you, you can find a whole lot of positives. And if you need to join that, you come this morning. If you're a follower of Christ and you've been baptized, you want to join that body, make your intentions be known. Hey, we know that Jesus can meet our needs if we offer ourselves to him. We're going to have an invitation this morning, if you would stand this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, that's alive and active, Lord. I ask this morning, Father, that if there's those here that need to change their attitudes about this church, about each other, about how we view each other, about how we view you, that we will change our attitudes and our hearts and our desires this morning. That, Lord, that you will take over our lives and we will conform to you, not you to us, that we will conform to you. Father, we love you. I thank you for sending your son to die for us. Lord, that you can change our attitudes and our desires. I'm so thankful this morning for this church. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, renew us and clean us up. In Jesus' name, I do ask it all. Amen.
I'm not being negative, but half the band is gone right now.
There they are.
Okay.
Thank you.
This morning, real quick, if you would be seated. For you all that don't know, we're going to close here in just a second, but a gentleman in our community passed away this week. He was a very, very awesome, great guy. His name was Vernon Singer. He owns Singer Auto Parts. And Gary Dawn, just great man in our congregation, had a chance to go to the hospital and pray with him this week. And Gary wanted to share a couple things this morning, so I want to give him that time. Can I get one of the mics? Right here, perfect. Come on up here, Gary, and share with us, sir, what's on your heart.
Well, the first thing that happened, this was probably 30 years ago. Sandy and I have always been involved in church and youth groups and stuff. And one night, this was probably before we hadn't got married yet. And I'd left her house and stopped at the service station to get some gas. Well, just as I pulled up, this other guy come in and started a disturbance with one of the boys that worked there, and they got in a fight. Well, I had to break the fight up, and in the process, one of the guys really cut his hand really bad right in here, and he was, blood, it was really bad. So I got the situation neutralized, and I told the boy, I said, you need to close the station. We need to call Dr. Tommy and have him meet us up here. That needs stitched up. I mean, it was bad. And so I loaded them both up in my truck, and we had him wrapped up. And neither one of them had been going to church or were involved in it. And while I was sitting there, I said, you guys, I said, the Lord probably wouldn't have handled that situation the way you did, and you would probably be hurt if you hadn't, lost your temper and if you'd have handled that a different way. And that boy, yeah, you're probably right. So anyway, but I said, there is somebody that can help you with that, and it's the Lord. And about that time the doctor come, and all that. And I said, I'll quick prayer, because when I drop you off, the other boy had called their parents. They were going to come and pick them up. Long story short, about 5-6 years later, at the same service station, on a Sunday afternoon, we were getting ready to go to church that evening or something, and this car pulls up over there. Now this young man is not, he's grown up now. He's got a family. He walks up there, and he says, Gary, he says, I've took too long to do this. I want you to know that I've been saved. My kids are going to church. I'm taking my wife to church and all this. And he said, if it hadn't been for you that night, there's no telling where I would be. No, if it hadn't been for the Lord that night, there's no telling where he would be. All I was the instrument for the Lord to talk through, to witness to someone. All right? So what I'm saying is, be joyful in your service to the Lord, because you don't know the joy that you will get from the witness that you help someone out. So don't feel like you're not important. Whoever you are here today, no matter what size you are, what age you are, where you come from, or what you are right now in the Lord's service, anything that you do for him that glorifies him will not be unnoticed by those around you. They watch you all the time. And this young man said, I just want to thank you, and I've never had the opportunity to do it. Last week he passed away at a young age. He was only 50-some years old. But in his obituary, I noticed that they talked about him being saved and all that, you know. You just don't realize what you're doing. And then, like you were saying the other day before a good friend of mine passed, I was at the hospital visiting, and we were asked by him and his wife if we could pray for him. And he knew he was on his deathbed. And that was a wonderful moment because, you see, people trust you and they feel comforted. The Lord was there with him, but so was someone else that he trusted. And that's what people need in this world. They need to be able to trust you. And being there and being on time and being for Jesus is what it's all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. I'm not up here this morning for me. I was standing over there. The Lord goes. And I could stand up here and talk for days about the things that I've experienced in service in the Lord. I'm going to tell you what. These aren't tears of sadness right now, folks. I'm just trying to hold back what I got inside of me. And Lord, if I cut loose, you'd look like a little bitty pygmy running around up here. But I'm not called to preach. But this morning, he wanted me to witness to you that, and tell you, to encourage you. Everyone here, I encourage you. Please do what you feel led to do in the Lord. Even if you think, oh no, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Through all things with the Lord are possible. Satan is already defeated, folks. He just doesn't know it. You have all the power in the world wherever you're at in your little circle. As a firefighter, we used to be designated areas when a forest fire or brush fire was out, so they'd know where you're at. We would go out in those areas. My job was to take care of my area. I didn't worry about what everybody else was doing. You take care of your area, and the Lord will put out the fire.
Guys, if you would stand, what Gary's talking about, planting seeds. Plant some seeds this week, okay? See you this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Let's eat some brats together. Let's eat some caramel apples. Let's fellowship. I love you all. Please be here this afternoon. Ian, would you close us in prayer?